Good morning, Union. How are we doing this morning's announcements? Sunday school every Sunday at 9 a.m. Bible study on Wednesdays. Doors open at 5 p.m. Class will begin promptly at 5:30. You can do it in person or on Zoom. Tithes and offerings and benevolence may be put in the baskets as you enter the sanctuary before service or as you exit the sanctuary after service. March announcements. March 1st is communion service. March 7th is Women's Christian Growth Fellowship from 10:30 to 11:30, facilitated by Reverend Dr. U.D. Williams, our pastor. And following that is men's choir rehearsal, or men's rehearsal will be at 12 p.m. On March 14th of 2026, the Men's Christian Growth Fellowship is at 10:15 to 11:15, and afterwards, men's choir rehearsal at 12. on March 15 is men's annual day. They're observed during morning worship service. And then on March 26th through 28th is Pearl Single Retreat. On March 29th is Baptist Fellowship of Bloomington. It's a joint community service at 2 p.m. at Mount Pisgah Church. The Union Missionary Baptist Church Care Ministry. The purpose of the Union Baptist Missionary Church Care Ministry of our church is to strengthen relationships within our congregation by providing spiritual support, emotional support, encouragement, and supportive presence as needed by our congregation. You guys, we are celebrating your 50th. Important announcement. We are thrilled to announce the return of celebrating all of you who have been a member of Union for 50 plus years. If you became or will become a 50-year member of Union between May 2018 and May 31st, 2026, let us know by Sunday, April 5th. Honorees will be acknowledged at the church anniversary in May. If you have any questions, please let us know. This is Beverly Gay and Shalita Wesley, thank you. They're our church historian. Come one, come all, you are invited to Vacation Bible School, June 15th through June 19th, from 5:30 to 7:15. It will be here at the church. Please contact Sister Cynthia Johnson if you have questions. The time that you've been waiting for, Union Missionary Baptist Church birthday announcements. We're happy to say happy birthday to the following who are celebrating birthday this month of March. Kenneth Jones, Thelma Maiden, Michael Pierce, Brenna Ritterman, Brianna Ritterman, sorry if I said it wrong, Howard Sweeney, Natalie Williams, and Zachariah Williams. May God continue to bless all of you. And our last announcement is a thank you. Stacy and family, to the Union family, to those of you that offer words of encouragement for the many prayers and cards of love, I am truly grateful. Words alone cannot express my appreciation. Your love for my family during this difficult time meant a lot. Thank you all. And that's your morning announcements.
Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We'd like to say good morning to all of you here on the inside, those that may be listening in the parking lot. God is still in the blessing business. And on behalf of our pastor, Dr. U.D. Williams, and the Union Missionary Baptist Church, we welcome you. At this time, we're going to ask if you can all stand, those that can, We're going to read the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. And if you want to read that, you can find that in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, King James Version. Our scripture reading is coming from Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40, King James Version. And it says, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. Love God, love others. You may be seated. At this time, we will be blessed with a song from our choir.
Thank you. You and me.
Conversation with him.
Amen.
We're living in frivolous times.
Yes.
Our government is a mess. Our churches are a mess. Our homes are a mess. And only God can straighten it out. But that means we have to submit to him. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that thou hast bestowed upon us. We thank you for waking us up this morning, letting us be able to clothe ourselves in our right minds. Let us have a reasonable portion of our health and strength. Father, we just thank you for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We thank you for allowing us to be able to see a new day that you have made, that we may rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we just thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. Father, we just ask that thou would just be with us, bless and keep us. We ask for thy blessings to be in the midst of us this morning as we continue in our morning worship service. Father, we ask that you will forgive us for all that we have done to offend you and anything that we have done to upset you. Father, we pray that you will just continue to watch over, bless, and keep us. Touch our hearts, our souls, and our minds, that we may be the people that you would have us to be, to do the things that you would have us to do. Father, we ask that thou would touch the hearts of all those in leadership positions, whether it be in the church, whether it be in our government. Touch heart, Father, so all may humble themselves and ask for your guidance in their decision-making, that they may do that which is right in your sight. Father, touch all of our hearts so that we may be a light shining in the sea of darkness, that others may see the light and come unto the light for salvation. Father, we pray that thou would touch the hearts of our pastor and his family. Touch our pastor's heart, Father, so that he may continue to walk in your ways. And bless us with the word that you have given him to give unto us. Father, touch our hearts so that we may not just be hearers of the word, but that we may be doers of the word also. Father, we pray that you will continue to watch over, bless, and keep us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. At this time, we turn service over to the hands of our pastor, Dr. U.D. Wills.
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Amen. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in today. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We come to praise our risen Savior for who he is and what he has done. Amen. Amen. Church, I know you already know this, but it's March already. Amen. Amen. It's March already. And we thank God for the movement of time. Amen. 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 Just want to say thank you to all of those who were able to attend this past Wednesday of our corporate prayer, those who were praying from home, those who tried to make it but couldn't make it for whatever the reason. But we thank God for our prayer coming on out on Wednesday. So thank you for each and every one of you in including and participating in prayer however you and able to do so. Amen? Amen. And again, it is March already. First Saturday is coming up this coming Saturday. I understand if you have some things going on, there are some big things going on in our community. At 10:30 to 11:30 here in the sanctuary, we'll have our Women's Christian Growth. Amen. Amen. Those who are able, I understand there may be some other things going on. Respect that and understand that. Amen. Amen. Women's Christian Growth will be here at 10:30 to 11:30 on Saturday, first Saturday. Amen. 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 If you have your Bibles, if you have your Bibles, Matthew 27. Matthew 27. We were reminded through song that Jesus went to Calvary to save a wretch like what you and me. What is that? That's love. Meditation song. As you turn to Matthew 27, Matthew 27. Matthew 27, Jesus is the answer for the world today.
Jesus is the answer for the world today.
Let's sing that one last time. Oh, Jesus
is the answer.
Oh, for the world.
For the world today.
Oh, yes.
Above him there's no other.
Oh,
Jesus is the way.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus is the answer.
Oh, for those who are able, will you please stand? Those who are able. Matthew chapter 27, I'll be reading from the King James Version. If yours sounds different, that may be the reason why. If you could go on down to the 24th verse, if you could go to the 24th verse, we'll be reading through the 31st verse. Amen. Matthew 27, Gospel of Matthew. Chapter 27. I'll be reading verses 24 to 31. Key verses will be 27 through 31. Be discussing and really squeezing on 27 through 31. Verse 24, King James Version. Again, if yours sounds different, that may be the reason why. Matthew 27. Watch this. Verse 24. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Verse 27 to 31, the key for today. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him, took the reed, and smote him on the head. And after that, they had mocked him. They took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify. If you give me just a few moments on today as we go on to Easter Sunday, first Sunday in April, I want to talk about the mockery of majesty, the weight of the cross. The mockery of majesty, the weight of the cross. Good morning, Union. God is worthy to be praised. And every day is a day that we should talk about Jesus. And in this time, we want to really, really talk about why we are here and able to say we are the children, daughters and sons of the Most High. And the reason why is because Jesus Christ died on Calvary for us. And he was dead and placed into a tomb. And on the third day, he rose with resurrection power. So my task in the next couple of weeks is to share with you the delicacy and the meaning of all that Jesus Christ went through for you and for me. As we do this, please, as we explore Jesus' experience on the cross, please also look at your life's experience, because just as Jesus Christ suffered, we shall suffer in life as well. And in today, in these little old couple of verses of 27 through 31, we see that Jesus had just come out of a lot. He had to stand in front of Pilate. He had to go through what he went through. And even Pilate recognized, you can read the whole chapter there, but even Pilate recognized this is an innocent man. He should not be treated this way. And he washed his hands. But the crowd said, "We want him. We will take care of this. We will crucify him." If you know, that's not part of the sermon, but if you looked at verse 25, they were so bold and filled with whatever they were filled with against Jesus, they said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ was mocked and misunderstood. They even didn't understand his words in John 6 when he said, "Eat of my flesh and drink of my blood." They twisted up what he said, and folk was mad. The Bible even said on the things that Jesus said that many left him after that because of what Jesus said. Jesus went through a lot for you and for me. In his suffering and in his humiliation, Jesus shows us the full profound depth of his love for you and for me. You ought to be reminded that Jesus, the true kingship, is displayed through serving others. Even in the face of mockery, meaning even when he was teased, even when he was ridiculed, even when he was devalued, Jesus loved us through his service. Makes us look at ourselves. Are we willing to serve the Lord even when we are mocked, teased, ridiculed, misunderstood, taken out of context? Imagine a scene where the one who holds the universe in his hands is being mocked and abused. A king dressed in rags, crowned with thorns, surrounded by those who scorn him. The comparison of his divine authority with the cruelty of humanity paints a powerful picture of sacrifice he was willing to make for you and for me. Here in Matthew 27, as you will peruse it and look at it, we find something very key, that Jesus is being condemned to death. The soldiers, under the authority of the governor, they take him in this chapter. They take him and they take him to the residence of the governor, where they mock and abuse him. They physically abuse him and verbally abuse him. They call him names, King of the Jews. This passage reveals to us all the agony, mental and physical, that Jesus went through his ministry of sacrifice for you and for me. Not only the physical suffering of Christ, but also the emotional and spiritual pain of being ridiculed by those who came to save. You know what? There's something about ministry and service that Jesus shows you. Even those you gonna serve gonna ridicule you, gonna misunderstand you, go off on you, other stuff. They went off on Jesus. We're no better. But you know what Jesus gave us? He gave us an example to still serve. As we explore this text and we see this, all the spiritual pain and the mockery and things during this season that Jesus went through, let's explore the first thing here in this text. As we look at verse 27, you look there at 27, it says that then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. In other words, Jesus was outnumbered, but he wasn't outnumbered. They brought him in, and all the soldiers said the soldiers was there with Jesus to carry out their task to go and crucify him. It may appear that he was there alone, but he wasn't there alone. soldiers gathered, representing the might of Rome, showing the earthly government. Rome is in charge, and they ridicule Jesus. They strip him and they dress him in a scarlet robe, mocking him. You claim to be the king, king of the Jews. Their actions reflect not just physical abuse, but a deeper spiritual blindness. They just couldn't see who Jesus was. Brothers and sisters, let's talk about spiritual blindness. It refers to the incapacity, the inability to really allow the work of the Holy Spirit to work in us and transform us to a point where we can not only perceive, but we can understand and respond in a spiritual way to divine and godly truth, particularly the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was reading during the time of Martin Luther King, they took a popular poll and he wasn't a popular guy. But now, many, many decades later, he has a day. He has a song. He has a speech. And he's appreciated for the things that he's done. Jesus is the same way. He died for you and for me. There's a whole lot of folk during his day that didn't like Jesus. But Jesus died on Calvary's cross. He got up on the third day, and I'm so glad that he did. As I look back at what Jesus did for me, I'm so glad that he did. I'm so glad that he served, in spite of being ridiculed, in spite of being torn down, in spite of going through suffering for you and for me, he still served. Anybody glad that he did? Well, if you're glad that he did, you have to serve with joy. You have to serve with happiness, even when the service is uncomfortable. Yeah. Spiritual blindness. I'm talking about the spiritual blindness. This condition is not merely an intellectual ignorance, not knowing what you're doing, but it's deeper than that. It's the inability to know what God is doing because you don't have that type of relationship with God, and it ends up being a rebellion and volatile and toxic, rooted in our fallen nature. Rooted in our sin. The Apostle Paul articulates that, and you can look that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 3 and 4. But Isaiah says it this way. Isaiah 53 and 3 says it this way. He was despised and rejected. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He was rejected. He was despised for you and for me. We often face ridicule for our faith. We often face ridicule for what we say. We often face ridicule for what we do, who we hang around. Jesus went through that. Just that Jesus endured mockery, ridicule, we must stand firm in our identity as children. Remembering that our own worth is not determined by the opinions of others. One thing that other people are always going to have is opinions. And the opinions, brothers and sisters, are not always rooted in the love of God. Opinions are rooted in other things, self-interest, self-concern, what's best for us. But Jesus looked beyond that, and he died for you and for me. Consider a young child who stood up for her faith at school and faced bullying. Instead of retaliating and seeking revenge, this young girl, she chose to respond to those who were bullying and ridiculing with kindness and prayer and even giving them cards and love and just pouring love on the bullies. Ultimately turning their hearts, and the heart appears toward Christ. Brothers and sisters, we can learn a lot from this young child, from this young girl, from this young boy, is that even in the midst of ridicule, even in the midst of us going through what we're going through, we have a job to carry out the gospel and love on everybody. So the first thing that we talked about is the ridicule of the ruler. Is that they mocked, verse 28, and they stripped him and they put on him a scarlet robe, and when they plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and a reed in the right hand, and a bow to the knee before him, and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They ridiculed Jesus. The point with that is just as Jesus went through ridicule, we will go through ridicule and mockery as well. But just as Jesus stayed faithful, we must stay faithful also. The next thing, did you notice that it caught my attention? Is that they crowned him, but they crowned him not with gold, not with silver, not with a crown befitting of someone like Jesus, but they crowned him with what? Verse 29 says, they had plaited and they had put a crown of thorns. I'm trying to think. I've experienced some rose bushes, some thorn bushes, some blackberry bushes, some bushes with them thorns, and it is not comfortable falling in the bushes because of them thorns. And they thought it a good idea to make a crown for Jesus, not of gold, not of silver, but of thorns. Because what's happening when they put that crown on him? He's going to feel it. And it's not going to feel good. Their intention was to hurt him and mock him and cause him pain simply for his decision of serving God. Do you remember before Jesus went to do his job of sacrificing his life, he got a little human there? And he felt like giving up. And the angels came and strengthened him. And he said, "Take this cup from me." And this cup really represents you and me, because if the cup was taken, we wouldn't be able to have salvation, because Jesus is the Lamb. But he died for you and for me because he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." God's will, in spite of his own feelings, in spite of his own mindset, Jesus was willing to be able to look beyond that and say, "Nevertheless, not my will, but what thine be done." Talk to me, somebody. I'll be a witness, and if I can get some other witnesses in life, we need to be spiritually mature enough to step back and just simply say, "Not my will. I know I want to give up. I know I don't want to participate. I don't want to do this and that. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And the second point I'm talking about is the crown of thorns. The soldiers twisted together some thorns and placed it on Jesus' head, and this symbolizes a painful irony of his kingship. He was mocked as a king while bearing the weight of our sins. Sin is not comfortable. Bearing the weight of sin is not comfortable. It's downright painful. Amen. Jesus, thank you, because you didn't have to do it. Thank you for humbling yourself enough that you allowed them to not just put a crown, but a crown of thorns, that when they put it on there, and you know they had to fit it on his head. 1 Peter says it this way, 2nd chapter, verse 24, it says it this way: he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Jesus died to bore our sins, our pain, on the tree. Why? That we might die and leave sin alone and live toward righteousness. We are reminded today, brothers and sisters, that our trials and tribulations can serve a greater purpose if we just look at the life of Jesus. Just as the thorns were a symbol of suffering, just like the thorns were a symbol of pain, our struggles can lead us to greater growth in our faith.
and resilience if we just think about that crown of thorns. Have you been through some things? I've been through some things, but I've never had a crown of thorns placed on my head. Is there anybody up in here? Maybe you have. So I'm not talking about you. But you're not going to volunteer and let anybody put a crown of thorns on your head. Why? Because you know the result is going to hurt. It's going to be bloody. It's going to be painful. And most people don't volunteer for pain. Don't y'all look at me crazy. There's somebody on this side, and I know there's somebody on that side. When you go to the doctor, you got to check because you got to brace yourself. Are there any shots today? You got to brace yourself. And you're concerned about some shots. But Jesus was concerned about your soul to the point where he was allowing himself to freely receive a crown of thorns for you and me. That's a hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Right there. Come on, 1 Peter 2:24 again. He bore our sins in his body on that tree for you and for me. Why? That we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Paul, come on in the building. Apostle Paul is an example of a believer that had, just like Jesus, a profound challenge, and he had afflictions. He went through some stuff, but it ignited a deeper relationship with God. So where I'm going with this is we have to look at Jesus and see that what we go through actually ignites a deeper spiritual growth and relationship with the Lord. And I want it all. I just don't want the bread of Jesus. I just don't want the miracles of Jesus. But I want him to know my name personally, and I want to know his name personally. I want to have an intimate, personal relationship with my Savior. And the reason why is because he's my Savior. And Paul talks about this, is that he was transformed through his experience of challenges and affliction. He was transformed from a persecutor. He persecuted the church to apostle. The Lord changed him to a representative. He was a persecutor. But the Lord touched his heart and changed him and had a talk with him. And he was transformed for no longer persecuting, but sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul's life wasn't easy, church. It was marked with a whole lot of relentless trials. He been through storms, bit by snakes, gone through all this. And he came up with something. He had some sufferings. Physical sufferings, emotional sufferings, spiritual sufferings. And he said, thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, check that out. Paul said he had a thorn in the flesh. I don't know if he just said flesh because the location it may have been in, but he just said thorn in the flesh. And we can learn from Paul's testimony, because when he recognized this and his plea for it to be removed, Paul even said, Lord, take it away from me. Take away this thorn in the flesh. God responded to that and said, my grace is sufficient for my power. And our relationship is made perfect in weakness. Oh, that can be painful, but I've been through some things and you've been through some things. In other words, I wouldn't be who I am. You wouldn't be who you are if you had not gone through some suffering seasons. Can I say it this way? Those who have been through some things can testify and shout and may lose your cool, because you know how good God is, that when you hear and you say to yourself, if it had not been for the Lord, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I would not, that's a personal testimony, I would not have been able to make it out of that place. I may not have been able to deal with that person. I may not have been able to endure that sickness, but I can remember the challenges of Paul. And I've been like Paul, take this thorn out of my flesh. But I can hear God telling him, my grace is sufficient. And through what you go through, we build a deeper relationship. And even I talk like this now. God, you've done it before. I know. I don't ask because I know what he can do. I say, you've done it before. You're going to do it again. The game is not over. It's not stopped. You done made some particular, specific, fantastic plays in my life. I need another one. I know you're going to do it again. Is there anybody here up in this place that you know that God will do it again? Matter of fact, he's on replay right now. He just keeps on. He just keeps on. He just keeps on. He just keeps. He just keeps. He just keeps on making a way. And I know my trifling self, in spite of me, I'm just one that's willing to recognize, acknowledge my sinful nature, my trifling self, my disobedient self, my grudge self. I'm willing to do that. And if you're able to do that, you can shout because, God, you look beyond my faults. Somebody up in here and look at your sinful nature and say, Lord, thank you. In spite of me being this and in spite of me doing that, in spite of my blemishes, you step beyond that. You look beyond that. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, God, for telling Paul my grace is sufficient. Last thing, and then you got my word, I'm going to leave you alone after this point. Somebody say, yeah, right, Reverend. Is the last thing is there is a call to follow Jesus. There's a call to follow Jesus. After mocking and after being abused, the soldiers led Jesus away to be crucified. And this act signifies not just the end of his earthly ministry, but the beginning of our salvation through his suffering. If it had not been for the suffering on the cross by Jesus Christ, we wouldn't be able to see God face to face. Because we're not good enough, we're full of sin, we are blemished, and impurity cannot be in the presence of God. But if we are covered by the blood of Jesus, he can present us unto God in a right manner. But he was willing to suffer. So it wasn't done after he got mocked. It's a call for us to serve. It's not done, brothers and sisters, after you go through your bumps and bruises. Anybody got some scars above your ass, on your knee, done stubbed your toe? Say, thank you, Lord. I've been through what I've been through, but now I have to serve anyhow. I have to do what the Lord told me to do anyhow. And you know what? I'm happy about it. I'm happy that he woke you up this morning. I'm happy that you can wave your hand. I'm happy that you've been through what you've been through. You know what? Because you can shout with me, my God is able. My God is able. If he can take some mockery from some soldiers, if he can get through even after the governor says, this is an innocent man, and he can keep on going to the cross, if he can get through a thorn, a crown of thorns on the head, and still be willing to go to the cross, that's a savior that I know. So it's a call to serve. Luke 9:23, and he said to all, if any would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. We got to take up our cross as a call to serve. And Luke, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. What does follow mean? Following Jesus means embracing the cross in our lives, embracing the suffering in our lives, not having pity parties, feelings hurt, stubbed toe. God is good. Thank him for the suffering. Thank him for the pain. Because Jesus went through it, we ought to rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. But in order to do this, this involves self-denial. This involves saying it's not about me, it's about the kingdom, and a willingness to face hardship for the sake of the gospel. If I could do it, church, if I could go to that crowd when Jesus is standing there on trial, if I could go to that crowd and say, are you right? Check yes or no. I can guarantee you that the majority in there would think that they was doing the right thing. So people's opinions in the crowd and people around you, they're going to think they're doing right. They're convinced that they're doing right. But are they doing right? But Jesus Christ knew exactly what the crowd would do. He knew what would happen, so he humbled himself and allowed himself to go through that experience. But just in case I don't see you again between now and first Sunday in April, I won't tell you what happened to Jesus. Is that he went through the ridicule. But then they hung him there on the cross. And they hung him there. They didn't put glue. They didn't take some ropes and tie him up there. But they took some nails, nailed him in his hand, nailed him in his feet. And you know what happens when you get pricked. Blood comes out. And they didn't just leave him there after he died. I'm going to get more into that and start hollering in the next couple of weeks. But now I'm just trying to set the foundation for what we're talking about is his dead body went down there in the grave. But what we shout about is that he didn't stay there. That he, with all power, heaven and earth, in his hands for you and for me. But the cross don't mean anything if we don't apply it. So I said, how can I apply it to what Paul said in Romans? It's the power that we can use. The same power that got Jesus up is the same power working in our lives today. You're sick and you don't feel like getting up, you better call on that resurrection power. You've been hurt and you don't want to deal with folk, you better call on that resurrection power. It's available. Evil is trying to get on you, you better call on that resurrection power. Folk getting on your nerves at home, on the next line, street, whatever, at work, you better call on that resurrection power. Wherever you are going through what you're going through, on the way to church, in church, in the back of the church, whatever it is, call on that resurrection power. And I don't know if there's anybody that can testify like I can, but he'll show up. I'm through now. He'll show up. On time. May not be my time, but he'll show up on time. Yeah, today we have seen how Jesus was ridiculed as a ruler, and we adorned him with crowns of thorns, and ultimately it led to the cross represents suffering. Each aspect of his suffering reveals a profound love that he displayed for you and for me, and the call we have to bear our own crosses and our own suffering. As we reflect on the weight of the cross, the pain and suffering of the cross, let us remember that our Savior endured for us. Let us remember that our Savior went through for us. Let us remember that our Savior was humble for us. He endured humiliation. He endured pain for our redemption. We are called to live in a way that honors that. His love is the foundation on how we should treat others. How will we know each other? By our love and standing firm in our faith. I invite you today to examine your own life. Are there some areas where you need to embrace your suffering? You need to embrace your life, your cross. Are you willing to follow a suffering Savior? Even when it's difficult, even when there's pressure, let us take time and in your heart, make a mind to commit yourself anew to follow him. With your whole heart. Don't be a part-time. Be a full-time and overtime for the Lord. Will you please stand? Is there one on today? Brothers and sisters who have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, I invite you to Jesus on. If there's not one, my brother, if there's not one, my sister, please, I invite you today, my brothers and sisters, if you would like to raise your hand, if you would like to come down and give your life to Jesus, you may come down. My brother, my sister, you may raise your hand. Is there one, my brother and sister, who would like to unite with this body of believers? You may come at this time. Is there one? Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? Song says, simply come to Jesus. Oh, yes, come. Oh, come. Oh, yes, come. Oh, come. Is there one? Is there one? He will save you. He will save. Oh, yes, he will save you. Oh, he will save you. Just now. Oh, yes, he. He will say, you may be seated in the presence of our God. At this time, we'll ask if you'll please prepare for our communion service. We have our elements. If you have not received the elements, cup with fruit of the vine, that's juice in it. If you would like one at this time, if you've not been served, is there anyone who has not been served who would like to be served? Is there anyone who has not been served that would like to be served? Amen.
Chapter 11, starting at the 23rd verse. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And that's the 30th verse. May the Lord have a blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen. We thank you for your patience. Amen. If you look at your elements, the wafer represents the bread, which represents the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which was sacrificed for you and for me. Let us partake of the bread together. Fruit of the vine represents the blood of our Lord. Let's partake together. Amen. This doing in remembrance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank Christ for dying on cross. At this time, we do not have Mount of Olives to go to, but we do have our various homes, places in our community. If you'll please stand at this time as we go out and we share. Let us read, sing together a verse of at the cross where I first saw the light. On your way out, please do not leave these in the pews if you can deposit them in the white containers on the way out. Amen. Those who know it, let's look up. Oh, at the cross. Oh, where I first. Go with God, go with peace. So we meet